Testing 1, 2, 3, sensor. The first minute or so of the original tape was erased by error, and so let me just conversationally mention what I had spoken in my introduction. I had made reference to the Chalice, which is a newspaper from the community church in King City, telling the people they could only be blessed by studying the scripture that has to do with healing. And how often have you heard the words, God is the great physician? It has recently come to my attention that the words in Exodus 15:26 really affirm that scripturally. I am the Lord that healeth you. The interesting fact is that the Hebrew word healeth is the identical word that is translated doctor. So I am the Lord God, thy doctor. God is restoring the church, and with it he is manifesting anew the gifts. As a pastor, I would be faithful to the word of God to tell you that it is because of ignorance that, for example, healings are not taking place. Notice the words in Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Isaiah 5:13. Therefore my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge. God knows what he's doing, and the gifts of healings mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 are being restored all over the world, and even in King City. God has put healing in the church, and he's not taken it out. We have. 3 John 2 says, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers.
In the world, prosperous souls. I'm not talking about the physical body, I'm talking about the soul. Many of you in this church have, because of your dedication and what all is involved in that word, have developed a relationship to God, and you are maturing in the eyes of God, and your soul is prospering. But what about the body? What about the physical body? 3 John 2 states, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. God wants everybody healthy. And what I say to you this morning is what I believe and what I feel. And I'm not saying what I'm saying is representative of any group or any church or anybody. I don't speak for the diaconate board. I don't speak for anybody in the church. I speak for myself when I say that God wants everybody healthy. Satan doesn't. God wants everybody to be healthy and of great countenance and just, what better word is than just great. But Satan doesn't. Now, I don't have all the answers to all the questions. In fact, I won't even give you the questions I don't have answers to, because I don't have the answers to all of the questions. I have a lot of questions. But I do this. I trust in God. And when I come up against a brick wall with a question that confronts me, I just leave it up to God, and I don't worry. I trust him to the best of my capability, and I accept his word, because it's his word, it's not mine. Now, God is a healer. I would not take your time to read the scriptures that tell where God healed people physically. So if you would just assume that that be true, that God is a healer in the past, what about today? Malachi 3:6 records, I, the Lord, change not. So if he was a healer back in those days, isn't he a healer in this day? Jesus was a healer. Again, I wouldn't take the time to read all the scripture. You know them many by heart, but you will have to believe me if you don't know them, that Jesus went around healing and doing good. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. The people who were lame, he made whole and they walked. People who couldn't see could see. People who couldn't hear became able to hear, because Jesus came as the healer and touched them, or they touched him, or he spoke the word and they were healed. So accept that as fact. Then what would you do with Hebrews 13:8 that says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow? If he was Jesus then, isn't he Jesus now? If he healed then, doesn't he heal now? Of course he heals now. Why doesn't he heal now? Well, I want to answer some of those questions. It's not my purpose to entertain you with stories about healing, because I have several file folders full of healing stories, and I've got pages and books documented by medical doctors of people who restored health. And on the list goes of people, and so I don't want to entertain you with stories about healing. I want rather to give you some meat from God's Word to tell you what the Bible says about healing. And I hope you don't get indigestion. If you do, you can come to the midweek service on Wednesday night if you get indigestion. And some of you may get indigestion by God's Word. Now, what is our command? Turn to Mark 16, verse 15. Beginning next Sunday, we're going to have in the bulletin all the scriptures that are read from the pulpit, so that if you don't have Bibles present, you can follow, and they'll be printed in the version that I will be using. This way you can see the scripture for yourself. Mark 16, verse 15 and following. He said, Jesus, to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe." He's talking about you if you believe. "In my name you will cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, this is what Jesus said would happen as a result of my sending the people out. John 14:12 records, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do," which included healing, "greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father." You see, Jesus could only be at one place at one time. That is why they flocked to him. That is why the scripture says that when they found Jesus was in one town, the whole city would go to that area to see him, to touch him, hoping that he might bless them. Jesus could only be at one place at one time because Jesus was human. He was divine human. "When he went to heaven, he now has given us a spirit, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, via this Spirit, we can do the things that Jesus did. He promised it." And you sang a moment ago, "I'm standing on the promises." Understand two things. God wants you well. The devil wants you ill. Have these words in your mind. Exodus 15:26, "I am the Lord God, thy doctor." 1 Peter 2:24, "By whose stripes you are healed." Psalm 103:3, "Who healeth all your diseases." These aren't just nice phrases in the Bible. These are promises for an individual to claim. You may recall over a year ago when I preached a sermon on healing, which was taken and slanted entirely different from this one, but I made a comment in that sermon that you should never pray, "If it be thy will," when you're talking to God about health, and when you're talking about death, and when you talk about illness. And that's what I still believe. In fact, I looked at my notes to see if I would change anything, because I grow through the years, and you won't believe this, but there was nothing I would change in that sermon of over a year ago. I want to repeat just that word about the will of God. Never should you pray for somebody this way. This person is very ill in the hospital, or it could be an incurable disease or whatever. You should never say, "Lord, heal this person if it be your will." Because it is his will that all be healed. The only time that I have learned to pray with that phrase, "If it be thy will," is when I can change it, or where this human element becomes involved. I'm not involved in the healing. So I do not say, "Lord, please heal so-and-so if it be thy will." God says, "Son, don't you know it is my will Haven't I told you in the Word of God that I'm the doctor? Haven't I told you that I want all men well? Haven't I sent my Son for your health? Every disease has a germ. Every life has a germ. Upon conception, the germ of life started, and you became the person that you are. Satan comes and sprinkles around germs of death. And the disease and illnesses that plague us today are from Satan. He has put the seed there, and it must be destroyed. It's what Jesus calls a spirit of infirmity. The germ causes the disease to grow, just like the germ of life starts the life to grow. And when the germ of life leaves the body decays, goes back to dust, the spirit lives on. When the germ of death, of an infirmity leaves, then that disease, that illness leaves. And we've got power over the devil. That is, if you are a Christian. If you are a Christian, you possess in your own capability the power over Satan. You can bind Satan in various areas. You have the power. And so you have the power over the devil that brings diseases, because Jesus said, in my name, you will cast out these infirmities. In his name, we have absolute authority to command the life of a disease to leave, and that disease must obey if in the name of Jesus you say that. And when it leaves, then the disease dies and the effects disappear. For example, a cancer has a life in it. That life is of the devil. And when the devil has placed that in a person, it begins to grow. But as long as there's life in that germ, then it will continue to grow. The cancer continues its work to destruction. But when the cancer life, when the germ of the life of the cancer is commanded to leave, in Jesus' name, it must go. And the cancer is dead. And then it will decay, pass away, and the sick person will recover. Now, this is a promise in God's Word. God hasn't changed. God hasn't taken this out of the church. But we, clergy, laity, have taken it out of the church. As long as you think that your sickness may be from God, you're going to be sick and sick and sick, because you cannot rebuke it. If you say, Lord, you've given me this sickness, then you cannot, with that attitude, say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this illness. You will not get well. Now, here I must say, there are all kind of slants to the will of God, and I must parenthetically say this, lest I be misinterpreted. There's so much about God that I don't understand. Catherine Kuhlman said, there's a lot I don't understand. The power of God is present in her meetings. There are hundreds of people that come. Some are healed, some are not healed. Why is this? We don't know. She said, I don't know why. There's a lot about God that I don't know. There's a lot about the will of God that I do not know, she said. And that's true for all of us. But this I do know, that if I think I'm going to be sick and that God has caused it, I'm not going to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. The doctor may call it arthritis, a rheumatism, but it's a blind spirit of the devil which is the real cause. The proper medical term may be a dead ear nerve, but the trouble really is a deaf spirit. The doctors may say, ma'am, this child has an undeveloped vocal cord, but the Bible terms it a dumb spirit. A dumb spirit. Some may call it glaucoma or cataracts. Jesus called it a blind spirit. Now, this may give you indigestion, but Jesus said that the infirmities that we have are from the devil. You know, the devil has angels. The devil's got hundreds and thousands, I would hate to think how many millions of angels there are employed in the service of Satan to make us ill and sick and defeated and lifeless, etc. Jesus has said that God has his angels. Well, so Satan has his angels. And his angels are after you They are after you, they're after your life, they're after your everything that you've got. God wants you well, but they want you ill, and they're going to do everything they can to pull you down and cause your destruction. And so we call it these various medical terms, which indeed they are, but Jesus, and if you believe the Bible, you have to agree that Jesus called it something else. And every time he called it something, the word devil was associated with it. Now don't go out and saying that I called Mr. So-and-so a man that has a devil. Well, that's what I am saying. I'm saying that illness is of the devil. A blind devil, a dumb spirit, you can call it the spirit, it sounds much, much better. You can call it a deaf spirit if you like, but it's of Satan. When God heals, he heals in two ways. He heals miraculously, instantly. He heals gradually. You take a tree and you chop its roots to pieces, that tree is still going to be a lovely green tree, but not for long. Soon, the tree is going to respond to what happened at its root system. And as a result of this, the tree leaves are going to turn from green to brown, and then they're going to fall off dead. And so sometimes God heals us when we pray for healing by this method, instantly, or may heal other way. The baby's not bothering me, but maybe we have a nursery if you'd like to have Ms. Clement, would you take the children over maybe? God's Spirit is so wonderful today. He wants to heal us, and yet we have our illnesses. You won't believe this. Can I give a confession at this intermission? Okay, I'll turn the recorder off. Not really. I've been suffering with a lot of sinus headaches lately. And I said to myself, self, you're going to preach Sunday about healing. Why are you reaching in there for the Sinutabs? Why are you asking yourself to go and use the medication that you have in the... Why are you doing this? And I said, well, because it's convenient, I paid for it, it's easy, it's the thing to do. And besides, I believe the advertisements that the Anisons do work fast. So I took the Sinutabs, I took the Anisons, and sure enough, it went away. I was so happy because it was pretty bad. But then I got to thinking later on that day, why did I do that? If Jesus is my Heavenly Father, why don't I just ask him to heal me? He doesn't delight in my pain. So the next day when I had that headache, I went back to the medicine cabinet and I took the medicine. And again, the thought occurred to me, you are just not practicing what you're preaching. And that really made me mad if somebody says that, and especially if I say it to myself. So when I didn't want the headache the next day, but when I got it, I did. I said, Jesus, you tell me you're the great doctor. You're greater than any painkiller there is. And so, Jesus, I call upon you to come in and remove this spirit that's in me that is causing this. And I thank you for it. And this is the key. When you pray for something like this, you accept it, you believe it, and you act upon it. You wonder what happened to my headache, don't you? It went away. It went away. I don't want to digress too much, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we hear about the spiritual gifts. There are people today, and I am not one of them by that former illustration, that have been supernaturally endowed with the gifts of healing. And you know of people who are this way. It doesn't mean that you've got to go to these people, but it means that God supernaturally has energized these people to be able to be a channel through which the Spirit of God can heal. Now, all of us can pray for somebody to be healed. And we have the power in that prayer, in the name of Jesus, and God will answer your prayers. We need to work more this way. Let me suggest to you four things very quickly. You can't separate the healer from the Savior. We have preached salvation for so long that it's coming out of all of our ears. It's coming out of the church publications. It's coming out of the door. It's coming out of our witnessing. And this is right. And this is where, as I see it, the church lost its stand with healing. Don't misunderstand me. There can be nothing more important than salvation. But the church became so gung-ho on saving souls that they forgot about the body. And as a result of this, we have had sprung up in history great movements and organizations, and Christian Science being one, and I've got some very dear Christian Science practitioners and who are Christians too. But we have sort of put it in a separate boat. We have given it to the medical profession. When Jesus said, "It's in my church," and above all, Jesus said, I was sent by God to be your healer. I want to come back to that in a moment, but let me just list a few things here. The Word of God is a healer. The Word of God heals. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed." We talk about Jesus dying on the cross for our salvation, and praise God, hallelujah. But he did more on that cross than just die for salvation. He died for my headache. He died for your infirmity. He died for the diseases. He does not want us ill. He bore our griefs, he carried our sorrows. More accurately translated, and I checked this many ways this past week, he took our infirmity and he bore our sickness. That changes the whole complexion of that one verse. He took our infirmities that we were going to have. He took our sickness that we were going to have. He took all of these things, and he died for them. He took our sickness. He bore our pain. This is why Christianity is a love affair between Christ and his church. He wants us well. He wants us well. So I suggest to you, first of all, the Word of God can make you well. It says so. Secondly, the laying on of hands is a practice that some use to be healed. It's not necessary all the time. It has not always proved successful, but it has been used by many all the time and has proved very successful. I wouldn't have said that 2 years ago, but I'll say it now, that the pattern in the Bible for healing includes several things. One is the Bible itself, the Word of God, and secondly, it is the healing by the laying on of hands. Now, God is not limited to the laying on of hands. I will say it again. God is not limited to the laying on of hands. But sometimes, God uses the laying on of hands to strengthen the faith of the parties that are involved. And as a result of this, we read in Mark 16, 18, as we started off, that the people are going to go forward and they are going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Jesus told us to do that. This is part of the commission. Lay your hands on them, that is the sick, and they shall recover. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, verse 10, verse 28, talks about the laying on of hands. Again, God is not limited to the laying on of hands, but it is a pattern. A third is oil. In James 5, verse 14 and verse 15, it talks about the applying of oil on the sick person, and they will be made well. Again, I don't think 2 years ago I would have said that it's anywhere near important to have oil used, because you've got faith in God, sure, and you don't have to have oil to be healed. And I have seen people healed without oil. But the Bible does say you bring the sick to the church, you have the elders apply the oil on them. And for you boys and girls, I used to think they'd just dump a whole tub of oil over on you. And that really frightened me, ruined the clothes and everything. It's not so. It's just taking a drop of oil, placing it on their forehead or on their infirmity, and saying, "I'm doing what the Bible says. In the name of Jesus, be well." And a fourth thing I would say is that just the fact, and this really comforts me, my Father in heaven, as well as my Father on earth, does not enjoy my suffering. Listen to these scriptures. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done. Not maybe, but it will be done if you abide in Jesus and Jesus abides in you. Here's my text for the morning in Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Okay, what's so good about that? The next verse tells you, for they are life unto those that find them, and health, I repeat, they are health to all their flesh. The Word of God is health to us. And so Matthew 7 says, ask, it shall be given. Jeremiah 33 says, call unto me, I will answer. 1 Peter 3:12 says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. And this is the confidence, 1 John 5:14, that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, according to his promise, pardon me, he heareth us. Faith means that you are convinced what God has promised. And the more I read the Word of God, the more convinced I am that God wants us all well. We're not all going to get up and be all well right away, because it is dependent upon each one of us. Each one of you hold the key. And so if you pray for yourself, or if you pray for somebody else and they don't get well, if you've done what the Bible says, then that's when I have to say, I just trust in God. I trust that God does all things right. But at once there is a silver battle, there is a war within us, with our faith, whether or not it's based upon God's word. Faith means that you are convinced what God has promised, and that you asked for it, and that you have received it, even before you see it. And so recently, when I prayed for a person that was ill, I said afterwards, thank you, Jesus, that you heard. Thank you for healing. I'm acting upon it. The person is going to act upon it. And the person was well. Because we didn't, after we prayed, said, now what can we do now? Should we give medicine? Why give medicine if you pray that God would bless that person with health? I know you've got to use your judgment. But this I know. The Bible says that every disease, every infirmity, every illness, great or small, was laid on Jesus. And he bore it already. I like the words in 1 Peter 2:24. Who by his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. That's the salvation that we preach. But the next phrase we sometimes forget, by whose stripes ye were healed. God wants us well. So thank God for it. Use your health, put it in action, and then praise the Lord as a result of it. Let me conclude by saying, when I receive word from the post office that there is a registered letter for me, I go right down to get it. I do it because I received a slip of paper telling me that. And I take it as a promise. They're not going to kid me. I'm not going to drive clear across town to the post office. They're not kidding me. When the doctor tells you that it's important that you take 3 pills a day for something, you act upon his word. You believe what he has to say. If one of the bankers call you and says to you that somebody has deposited some money in your account, you have X number of dollars, you may act upon it. You will believe it, even though somewhat with doubt, but after you go to it, you will believe it. You will take advantage of it. What I'm saying is that we act upon all of these things that are human, but we fail to act upon God's word. And we need to act upon the advice of the Heavenly Father. He says, I am the Lord God, thy doctor. And you either can believe it this morning, or you can say your parish has gone off the deep end and not believe it. It's up to you. A little girl came home from a tuberculosis hospital to die. She was made as comfortable as she possibly could. She was a Christian teenager. She read her Bible every day. She prayed to God. And one day she happened to just be reading, and she read Acts 15:26, "I am the Lord God that heals you." And she started thinking, "I know he's healed me of my salvation because I'm a Christian, but does this mean something else?" And then she read on, and she had the point given to her by the Spirit of God that God sent his son to die for her tuberculosis. Now, she had been sent home to die. She called her mother and said, "Mother, bring my clothes. I'm getting dressed, and I'm going outdoors." "You can't do this. You've got to be careful. You can't exert yourself." "No, I have claimed a promise in the Word of God which I've never seen before, and that is the great physician of Jesus." She said, "I prayed by faith, Jesus, make me whole. If you did it then, you can certainly do it today. I'm going to act upon it and get up." And her mother was quite reluctant, but she realized the determination of her daughter, and so she allowed this. The daughter got up. The daughter went out. And today the daughter's still living without tuberculosis because she prayed the simple prayer of faith, "Lord, be my doctor." But with it, because it is more than just saying those words, she put feeling, faith, trust, confidence in her new doctor. God's word is very powerful. And God's word will produce results in your life. I concluded my sermon some years ago by answering this question: why does God allow sickness? Let me read the paragraph. Why does God allow bloodshed and war and illness and strife? What's God doing about it? What's God doing about all the illness in King City? What's God doing about those in the hacienda, those at the hospital, those who are not here this morning because of illness? What's God doing about it, if God's such a loving God? Why does he allow this to happen? He's given to each one of you, and myself included, a free spirit, and that is the answer to why God allows all of these things. You may quickly say, "Why doesn't he intervene?" He has. He has. He has intervened when he sent Jesus. He sent his son to intervene, to overcome sin, to overcome evil, to overcome hatred, to overcome jealousy, to overcome bloodshed, warfare, suffering, sickness, and disease. He has overcome this in the power of Jesus. And further, he has given each one of us the power, the real power, to win victory over sin and over disease. Somehow I think we're rediscovering, or discovering, something that the Christian church possessed in the early days, and that for a long time has gone by the wayside and even completely lost. And this is regarding the church's stand toward healing. I don't speak for the church. I speak for myself. This is the promise upon which I stand. God is your doctor, if you want him. I am the Lord God, thy doctor. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our illnesses and for our disease and for all of the suffering that's related to illnesses. What's he doing about it? Well, he's already done it. Jesus died for your salvation. He died for your health. Jesus wants you well. The devil wants you ill. Let's stand as we pray. Our Father, we will have to confess that there is so much we don't know. In fact, we know less than we don't know. But this I know, that the Bible is the Word of God, and that in it are promises regarding every aspect of our total being, of our total living. And this includes not only salvation, but it includes health. Father, we want to be healthy. We want to be rid of our illness. And when we do become ill, when that germ is placed in our body, be it, as we classify it, minor or severe, we have the power in the name of Jesus, according to the Word of God, to rebuke it. And we pray, our Father, that this sermon will have done many things, one of which, increase our faith in God and increase our faith in ourselves, in the potential power that we have. We pray, Lord, you would revolutionize our thinking. We pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, energize each one of us into the workings of the Holy Spirit in our life. Our Father, would your Spirit touch our hearts as we sing this concluding hymn of invitation. Amen.